I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Hello, world. Welcome back to Thanks for Coming In. I'm your host, Jillian Clare. If you're tuning in for the first time, welcome to the show where I make actors tell me stories that broke their hearts. And sometimes really funny stories and happy stories and everything in between. Story time. Welcome to story time. Today on the show, I have Alex Weiss. You may know him from Indoor Boys or Bold and the Beautiful, or maybe you saw him on Broadway in Waitress or Spring Awakening. He is amazing and fabulous and so talented and so humble, and I loved talking with him. So here's that conversation with Alex Weiss.
Hi. Hello.
How are you today?
I'm, you know, just fine. It's just another lovely day of quarantining. And, you know, I'm still kicking, so it's an okay day.
Still doing it. Are you quarantining in LA or New York?
I've been in New York this whole time. So I'm one of the brave souls who's stayed on the front lines. And wow. You know, and it's actually, I mean, I'm not sure when people will be listening to this, but as of right now, and knock on wood, it continues this way. New York is a pretty safe place to be, and mm-hmm. So I hope that because we experienced so much trauma right at the beginning of this, Maybe we're being a little bit rewarded that it's, you know, not a hellscape out there anymore, and I can like walk around the block, and it doesn't feel like my life is quite on, you know, it's not on fire anymore.
Right. So. Yeah. I mean, you guys got the brunt of it out there at the beginning, so I feel like you guys all listened very well to the LoveGov and got rid of it, which is nice. Now I wish that LA would follow suit, but we'll see how that happens.
I hope so. I hope everyone out there is staying safe and wearing a mask and, you know, doing what we can to get through this strange time.
Never thought I'd see it in my lifetime, but here we are.
Here we are.
So you recently won a bunch of Indie Series Awards for your show Indoor Boys.
Yeah, it was so wonderful to have something to celebrate in the midst of all this.
Yeah.
And we were I made it. It's a show that I made with Wesley Taylor that anybody can watch for free on YouTube. And if you go to indoorboys.tv, it's you can stream it for free. And it's 3 seasons, and it's funny, and it's touching, and it's all about 2 friends who aren't quite clear on their boundaries. So that's kind of what the show is.
I feel like that's like most of our generation.
Yeah, I think so. We were really trying to write like an odd couple, but for our sort of millennial, you know, queer, you know, through that lens.
Yeah.
So, you know, so
I love it.
Yeah, we were really excited to win awards, and a few of our actors won. It was really so special that we got to celebrate and, you know, see, to feel a moment of success in all this.
Yeah. Moment of, what am I looking for? I don't know.
What are any of us looking for?
You know, really? Truly. But yeah. I love Indoor Boys. You have some major, like, Broadway heavy hitters on that show, too.
Yeah, first off, thank you. And yes, the cast is so wonderful. We got very lucky with the people who were willing to get in the sandbox and play with us. And I mean, the 2 women who play our mothers, Vianna Cox and Carolee Carmello, they're 2 Broadway staples. And
totally.
And also, I mean, so many wonderful people have been on the show. Noah Galvin was on it. Frankie Grande is, he's been on it a number of times. Eric Bergen, Krista Rodriguez, so many fantastic people. So I think that's part of the fun of the show is seeing all these great faces pop up and everyone, you know, hopefully gets a chance to be funny and play and be a part of telling that story.
Yeah. Web series are always so fun because I feel like there's such a freedom in making them since you're in charge of them.
Yeah, it's also, you know, it makes it twice as hard.
Yeah.
You know, like not only were we trying to make sure that we could be good actors in the scene, but we had to make sure the script was in order and make sure we were good directors and make sure everybody was happy on set and then edit, put it all together. I mean, just the number of hats that we were wearing, it was kind of overwhelming, but I think that on the other side of it, it's one of the things that I'm most proud of because Wes and I worked so hard to make this thing. And so I feel proud that we actually got to the other side and did it and that people seem to be affected.
It definitely shows. I mean, that show is really, really well done and you guys should be super proud of yourselves.
Thanks.
So take me back. How did you get in this crazy world of acting and writing and directing and all of the above?
Oh gosh. Well, you know, I just always knew that I was just a kid who always loved making things, putting on plays and writing and it just kind of never stopped. So it's something I've always loved. I've always loved jumping on stage. And I've always loved, just the whole community aspect of putting something together. And so I just kind of kept doing it my whole life. I went to school at Boston University where I was studying acting, but I got to do a lot of theater ensemble stuff and I was putting on shows that I wrote and I just kind of kept going. I went to New York and then I spent time in LA and, you know, I mean, I've had a lot of crazy left turns in my life that have taken me in a lot of different places, but I think through it all, I've always tried to, especially during the times when I wasn't getting cast, like that's how Indoor Boys came about is Wes and I were at this point where we were kind of frustrated because we didn't get this job or that job fell through. And so we were like, God, screw it. We're just going to make our own thing and have something to do this month.
Exactly.
So. So I think we just were never content with sitting still. I'm really glad that in Wes I found a creative partner who feels similarly and that we don't want to wait for anyone else to build a road for us, but instead we're just going to kind of build our own road as best we can. And so that's sort of, I mean, you know, that's the bigger picture, I think, of how all of these things came to be. But moment to moment, we can talk about those too. You know, all the little stories that happen along the way.
Well, I was looking, you know, at Wikipedia, the most reliable place on the internet.
And else is there? Yeah.
I was just seeing just your past. And it's amazing to me that you've been able to really focus not only on theater, but television, too. You've really been able to make a stance and have your name heard in both platforms, which is kind of unheard of a little bit, I feel like, in this day and age. You either, you know, are doing film and television or you're doing theater. And once in a while, the big stars go to Broadway, which, you know, we'll talk about that later if you want. But it's interesting. Like, you've done Spring Awakening, which is one of the best shows ever. I love that show.
Oh,
and you did
the
revival,
too, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I did the Deaf West revival that incorporated that. It was a mix of deaf and hearing actors, and every moment was a combination of spoken English and signed ASL.
Wow.
So it was really a pretty huge experience. We always felt like we were these like misfit toys who landed on Broadway. Like, you know, the idea that to be on Broadway, you have to be this kind of person, but all of these incredible, just brilliant, smart, creative deaf actors got a chance to be on Broadway and tell that story. And yeah. I'm so humbled and thrilled to stand beside them and also have to take on and that I got to be a part of their culture, that I that I got the opportunity to learn sign language. And
I was gonna say, did you know ASL beforehand, or did you learn it for the show?
You know, I knew the alphabet from school and growing up, and like I knew a couple words. I knew how to say crocodile, but no,
that is the most random word to know.
Well, it was really, you know, it was just like you stretch your arms out and like make claws with your fingers, and like that was crocodile. So it just really, that one stuck with me. But no, I didn't really know ASL. And then being a part of that show, I was also so inundated in the deaf culture, which was such an incredible life experience.
Mm.
So that was a pretty cool, it was a pretty cool twist that my life took, you know?
Yeah. That's definitely like a crazy, crazy turn. Because I feel, I mean, have they done a whole lot of deaf productions on Broadway before?
No, not many. I mean, there's the very famous play Children of a Lesser God, which has a lot of deaf roles in it, and that was originally in like 1980 or so. Right. And then Deaf West previously did a production of Big River on Broadway in 2003-ish, and then their next venture was Spring Awakening in 2015. So there've been a couple of moments along the way, and surely there have been some deaf actors here and there in shows, but there have not been a lot of like truly deaf moments on Broadway where deaf culture was, there was a spotlight on deaf culture, and then by proxy, the disabled community. So it was just really cool to be a part of that and help, tell their stories too.
That's amazing. What an amazing experience to be a part of.
Yeah, it was. I mean, we felt like in the same way that they felt that they were challenged to take on dance and music in a way that they might not have, like that they had to inhabit this space that has previously just been inhabited by hearing people. But then at the same time, we had to speak two languages. And so all of us were all totally humbled and changed for it.
And then how long between Spring Awakening and Waitress?
Let's see. Spring Awakening was 2015 into 16. And then I went to Los Angeles. That's when I did Bold and Beautiful for a year. And that's when I started Indoor Boys. Yeah, I spent a year on a soap opera when that was.
How was that?
You know, it was, some of it was really great and some of it was completely bizarre. And I just like couldn't, I don't know. I mean, you know, all is said and done now, so I can kind of speak honestly about it. That's a world I never fit into. And it was so, so weird that I got that job, but I was so thrilled to be there, and I got to work with some really awesome actors, and I was so excited. I was on TV kind of regularly for a good stretch of time. So it was a pretty cool experience, but it was so strange. Like you know, the kinds of storylines I was a part of. I do have a lot of respect for people in that world though, because they work really hard, and oftentimes they're given scenes that could be improved. And and then
that's a nice way to say it.
Yeah, you know, I want to be diplomatic. And then I think those actors have to work really hard to make dialogue work. So I think that the people in that community deserve an enormous amount of respect.
100%. I always say that, you know, soap actors have the most amazing work skills because they have to do exactly what you just said. And they have to learn, you know, an entire 60-page script the night before you film, which is bizarre in its own right.
Oh my God. It was so crazy. Just the amount of, you know, and I never had, there's maybe only a couple of weeks where I had a lot of material and I was like, oh, wow, I have to do 20, I have to learn 20 pages a day. Okay, I can do this. you know, there are only a couple times it was like that. For the most part, for me, it was manageable because my part was smaller. But there were a lot of actors on that show who were truly learning 30 pages a day and do
It's wild.
Yeah, it's just incredible.
It's
just,
it's a wild, wild, it's like the Wild West out there, man.
Yeah, it really is.
But so you did Bold and the Beautiful, and then you went back to New York?
Yeah, and I will say, though, I was never bold nor beautiful, but somehow But somehow I ended up on that show, and it was just so strange. After they wrote me off of the show.
Did you die or did you get, did you go to camp?
I went to camp essentially. Yeah. They were like, oh, he's gone now. He's at camp. And I was, it was so weird. It was just so weird.
I mean, when I was on Days of Our Lives, they sent my character to summer camp and she came back like 6 years older. So I feel you. Yeah. No,
so
I was
so
like,
they just recast 12? You?
Yeah, I was like 12 and they sent her 11 something and they sent my character to summer camp and she came back like a full blown teenager.
Oh, that is so insulting.
It is. It's okay. It's okay. I've gotten over it. It's been long enough.
Oh gosh, I still have some wounds from the Bold and the Beautiful.
Oh no.
You know, that's daytime TV.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/realm. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
So you go back to New York and how long until you're doing Waitress? Cause that's a great show too.
It was, that was so fun. I went back, in the summer of 2018 and then in the fall was it 2018? Hold on.
Time doesn't exist anymore, so it's okay. God.
I don't know. Yeah, I think it was in the summer of 2018. I think I, after Bold and Beautiful had had sent me off to summer camp, I decided I was going to make a move back to New York. And I think at that point, then Wes and I had done our second season of Indoor Boys, which I flew back to New York to do. But then when that was said and done, I was just like, all right, you know what? I feel like New York is more my home anyway. So I went back, and I think the day after I got back, I auditioned for that show. And then I know. And then a couple months later, I did a 3-month run of Waitress on Broadway.
Wow.
It was a nice welcome coincidence. Home gift. It was
exactly.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, you're supposed to be here. FYI.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a really nice, affirmation from the universe that I had made the right move back to New York. Mm-hmm. That being said, I can assure the listeners that not all things have gone well in my life. And there are so, so many things that did not happen that I did not get, times when I was like left unemployed and miserable. Mm-hmm. But that was one of the times when, the stars aligned and I got to do something really cool and be a part of another show that was a great little community to be a part of. And I did it with Al Roker, and he's awesome.
No way. You did it with Al Roker?
Yes. He's the coolest person in the world. Oh my God.
It's amazing.
No one's nicer. No one has ever been nicer than Al Roker.
Oh my gosh. What a dream. Who was playing Jenna when you were doing that?
Nicolette Robinson, who is so brilliant. Her husband is Leslie Odom Jr., who you just
Oh my God.
Yeah, who you watched this morning in Hamilton.
Yes, his book is on my bookshelf.
Oh, great. Well, yeah, his wife, Nicolette, who is just as talented in her own right. My goodness, she's breathtaking. And she played Jenna. Yeah, she was awesome. And she was, I think she was the first Black Jenna in the show, which was
I think I remember reading about that. That's super cool.
Yeah, it was. I was really happy to do the show when she was doing it.
You're in all of these very significant Broadway moments. Do you understand that?
No, yeah. I don't understand that because I don't understand that because, you know, I'm just in my quarantine and like trying to survive.
I feel it.
Yeah.
All right. So the point of the show is that we tell either heartbreaking or, you know, great stories, things that end up good. Either works for me. But do you have a story that you'd like to share?
Well, here, I can think of this. Here's one.
Okay.
This is, this was like 2014 or something. Mm-hmm. And this is not some giant role, but it was a significant event in my life, I think. I was kind of in a rough place because I had like just gone through a breakup and I was feeling a little vulnerable and all that. And I was feeling like, gosh, I can't get arrested in New York. maybe that's the wrong phrase to be using these days. That phrase might be out of date. I was feeling I was feeling like I could not get an opportunity in New York, and I was having a tough time. I got asked to audition for, and I am really not a dancer. I'm really just like not very good at it. And
I'm sure you got some moves.
You know, like I can do what's required of me. Like I could do so like I did Wicked for a little while, and I, you know, could do like the kind of simple dances that Bach has to do in Wicked. Like I could barely handle those. But I was asked to audition for this new show, Tuck Everlasting, which was on Broadway.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Yeah. And I was told, you know, I was like, they said, please come in for this. This is, you know, it's a dance call, but this is an invited dance call. I don't know why the story's on my mind, but I hope this ends up being interesting. Otherwise, I'm so sorry for wasting everybody's time.
Story's interesting. You're good.
Okay. So I was asked to come in for Tug Everlasting. It was the invited dance call for like a featured ensemble role. And I was like, okay, sure, maybe. But like I said to my agent at the time, I was like, I'm not a dancer. I don't know if this is what they want. And they said, no. Casting is assuring us like this is an invited, essentially a mover's call. You know, you're not going to have to really dance. It's going to be a lot of actors who are asked to move, and these are for featured ensemble roles. Okay. And so I was like, okay. I'm like kind of nervous. I'm feeling uncomfortable. But you know what? I'll try because I'm feeling like really low and I have nothing else going on for me.
Oh, no.
So, I mean, that's where I was at the time. And so I went in to this audition. I show up and it was essentially me and the cast of Newsies.
Oh, my God.
What went down was this complicated ballet dance sequence full of like double and triple pirouettes and leaps. And I was just like crashing and burning. And I felt so humiliated. What I should have done was just like leave. I should have
just sneak away.
I should have just left, you know, because I actually couldn't do any of the things they wanted me to do. But I still kept being like, I can do this. I can do this. Just muscle through. If I get through it, then maybe they'll see that there's more to me than the fact that I can't do any of these things. And well, then they were like, okay, so now if we call your name, then that's all we need to see for today. So I'm just going to go through the list of names. Okay, Alex Wise. And I was like, oh, I'm the only name. I was the only name that they called.
No, and they just got rid of you.
They just got rid of me. And so I made the long walk, you know, to the door, because of course I was on the other side of the room. And
of course you were.
Of course. And I made the long walk to the door and I was just, I felt like my world was crumbling around. I was just so mortified by this experience. And I was just so confused why I was called in for this thing when it was clearly not a mover's call. Like, what were they to gain by bringing me, a non-dancer, in for this show? So that night, I was like, I cannot handle this anymore. I am going to lose my mind. And I booked a plane ticket to Los Angeles and I left the next day and I stayed for a year.
Tuck Everlasting got you to leave New York City. That's amazing.
Yeah, I left New York City because of Tuck Everlasting because they shattered my spirit. No disrespect to anybody on that team. They're all very lovely people. And I actually enjoyed the show. I ended up seeing it. That killed my spirit so much that I moved to Los Angeles and that's how I started doing television.
Oh my God. It reminds me, did you ever watch Friends, that episode where Joey goes in for a Broadway audition and he like has to figure out how to dance?
No. Oh my gosh. I don't remember this one. I mean, I've seen it, but
God.
I haven't done a rewatch in some time. I have to find that.
You have to watch just that episode because I just picture you doing exactly what Joey was doing in that episode and I'm literally crying right now. I'd be totally screwed too.
Yeah. I mean, I sure felt like crying.
Yeah. I mean, I'm proud of you for sticking that out though, because I would have seen that, said, I am so sorry, goodbye.
No, but see, I think there's a real power in that. Like, what I should have done was known what my strengths and limitations are, owned that, and proceeded as such. But instead, I was trying to pretend I was a person I was not. And so I needed to go to LA to quote unquote find myself.
Oh my God, this is not the place to find yourself, let me tell you.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. But, you know, I still discovered some things, you know, did some jobs. It was okay. It was a good move to make at the time.
I love that. Oh my gosh, Tuck Everlasting killed you.
Yeah.
That was it.
It killed me. Ruined my soul. Yeah.
What a story. Did you ever see those casting directors again?
You know what? I'm sure I did because Broadway is a small, I can't remember who was casting it, but I am sure I went in for them again because they're only, it's unlike LA where there are just hundreds of casting directors doing so many various projects. Broadway is a much more like, there are four casting directors that you go in for. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a little bit more of like a insider club to its, maybe to its disadvantage.
Yeah, they have some serious gatekeepers over there.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. And that's, you know, help me and hurt me.
I'm so curious to why they brought you in. Did you ever figure it out? Or did your reps ever figure it out?
It's crazy. It's just crazy. Like, what, you know, but now I've gotten a lot better about, I've learned from that experience. And to be honest, other experiences I've had like that, where, you know, I was up for another show and they said, okay, so now just come in to, you did great at the audition. Now come in tomorrow to the callback and bring your tap shoes. And I said, and a good day to you. I will not be in your show.
see you later.
Yeah, but I'm not gonna, I know now what I should be putting myself on the line for. And some things, it's just not gonna be to anyone's advantage to pretend I'm somebody I'm not, you know?
It's true, it's true. But, you know, we did get that great story out of it. So I'm glad you did at that time.
Yeah, you know, hey, I'm glad that I could save it for your podcast.
So what are you doing now? Like, what's on the books after quarantine? Do you have anything figured out?
Well, sort of. I mean, you know, everything is a question mark now. But let's see. In terms of, I have a couple of writing projects I've been working on. So Taylor and I, who wrote, we wrote Indoor Boys together. We, during this time, we wrote a new play. And so we're going to try to make that happen in the coming years, we hope. And I have a musical that I've been writing for the last year. And I was working on that like right before I got on the line with you. That one is, we have a producer on that one, and that one, it was scheduled to happen this summer, but off Broadway. Now it is going to happen, you know, in the winter, in the spring. No one can really say, but I think the next thing I'm doing is this new musical that I've written, and I would tell you the title, but I think as of last night, it's changing. So
It's okay.
Yeah, but I'm writing it with Ben Fankhauser, who, speaking of Newsies at my audition, Ben was in Newsies. And he's an amazing collaborator on that and a great actor. So we're going to be in that together, and we're writing it together. And it's this little off-Broadway musical that I hope will make people very happy when we get to show it to them down the road. Yeah, thanks.
I'm definitely going to come out and see that. I love seeing shows. And it's one of the things that I'm missing the most right now is like going to see live theater and musicals.
Oh, gosh, you know, I do hope that this time has made everybody even more appreciative of what we had. Mm-hmm. Even for me, someone who's been so immersed in the theater, even I, in these months leading up to this event in our lives, I was feeling like, oh, I cannot go see another Broadway show. I am just so tired of seeing all this theater, you know, seeing things constantly. But now I know that the next time I walk into a theater, I will just burst into tears because...
Oh yeah, it's going to be a very cathartic moment.
Oh, big time. Yeah. Because now I think this time, and not just theater, but so many things, I think we can all kind of take stock and appreciate the things that are really important to us in our life mm-hmm. and figure out what really matters, you know?
Totally. So. I think it's been an interesting break for everybody who's involved in, you know, entertainment and performing arts, because usually we're so busy and hustling so hard that it's hard to take those moments. And now we've all been forced to just sit here with ourselves and we're like, wait, what?
Yeah.
What do I do?
We really have to look in the mirror and figure out, okay, what works? What doesn't work? Who, you know, what's the kind of person I want to be? All these things. And how much did I take for granted walking into a theater or walking into a movie theater or getting to be on a set or something? If I ever took those things for granted, I just want to promise myself I will never take those things for granted ever again.
Oh, that's very sweet.
Well, just trying to, you know, do my best.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. Where can people follow you on social media?
Oh, well, thank you for having me. And yeah, on Twitter, I'm at Alex Wise. That's WYSE. And Instagram, I'm at Alex J. Wise.
So awesome. Thank you so much. It was so nice speaking with you.
You too. Thank you so much, Jillian.
Thanks again to Alex Wise for coming on the show. He's just so sweet and so genuine. I love you, Alex. Thanks so much. Next week on the show, we have my childhood friend Shelby Young on the show. You may know her as Princess Leia in Star Wars Forces of Destiny, or maybe her iconic role in American Horror Story. We have an awesome conversation about finding yourself in the business and how your career can lead to new paths you never even thought of. And I really enjoyed speaking with her. So tune in next week. Until then, make sure to subscribe to the show wherever you're listening to it right now. You can also follow us on social media. Make sure to tell your friends, your family, your dog, your parrot, whoever you want about the show. And as always, thanks for coming in.
Ah. Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.